This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, my name is Callum Hughes. I'm a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And I'm Ashley Wysick, also a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today on A Wild Conversation, we're going to be going in more depth into the story of our red panda cubs.
The pumpkin spice raccoons.
The pumpkin spice raccoons.
I love every that time. So much. It's just so good.
Totally fair. You bring that up every time I bring them up.
I do, yes.
People are going to expect a drink or a Cinnabon or something when they come here. You know that, right?
I would literally call them that way back when I used to do the train. And I'd drive by. I would literally just, in my train narration, I'm sorry. It's a part of who I am now.
But I can't tell you how excited and how happy we are to have this success story for SSP.
It's so exciting.
Oh, it started when Sakura was brought to the zoo under an SSP recommendation. Mm-hmm. We slowly but surely introduced them together. Things went exactly how we wanted them to go. As time passed, they warmed up to each other very much, and you would often pass by the enclosures and see two balls curled up, sat right next to each other, like two hats on a shelf.
It was honestly super cute. I know I've driven by a few times, and they'll just be like right next to each other. They're doing stuff. I think my favorite pose I've ever seen them lay, though, is Arun, when he lays on the top bar with all his legs dangling down. Yeah. He looks so comfortable. It's so cute.
Have you tried to, like, as a kid, like, I remember seeing leopards on TV doing that, too, in trees.
Yes.
And sleeping that way.
I have climbed trees and laid like that specifically to try. I'm an animal. And almost fallen out of trees.
It doesn't work, though. No. It does not work. It's not comfy.
It's not.
They look so comfy, and I envy them for that, but I'm not able to recreate that feeling.
We're just not built to lay like that. I don't know. But yes, I have 100% climbed trees and laid like that. Maybe not recently. Can't confirm or deny that, though.
Hey, I'm just glad I'm not alone in that feeling or thought. Maybe there's someone listening right now who's like, yes. But once we had Sakura over and we knew that the two had warmed up together, we understood that there was good potential that we could end up with cubs. So I was approached by Manita and by management and offered to design some nest boxes. Mm-hmm. This was a completely peer-reviewed process, so I had to bring some designs forward to them. They checked it out. I had to do my reading, make sure I knew what specifics the species wanted, what was best for cubs, what red pandas seemed to like. I also had some support and advice from the head keeper who trained me. Mm-hmm. On the route, because she had also given a lot of thought that if we had a female red panda, this could happen. I was also able to reach out to other red panda keepers at different zoos or institutes for ideas of nest box designs.
Teamwork does make the dream work.
Exactly. And it was so great to speak to other people, what they'd found, look up research papers. Like, I found some research said that subterranean red panda enclosures actually have higher success rates if they're selected. But also to understand that they want variation in their nest box designs, different sizes, different locations, to make sure that she has her options when she picks a nest box.
And you did give her quite a few options.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've been by and I've seen them. You've got quite a few in there.
Yes. We designed three nest boxes. Nest box 1, 2, and 3 is their official names.
Wow, that's a very complicated names.
Unofficially, though.
Oh.
Unofficially, I call one the Studio Pandment.
Pandment?
The Pan Cave. Oh my God. And the Pansion.
Well, I can't deal with you sometimes.
The names make sense because Nest Box 1 is inside the barn, right underneath one of the ledges with a little walkway to it. So it's kind of like a studio apartment, you know? The other one is literally a cement cylinder. The idea of this is that it's very insulating. It can keep it nice and cool on hotter days. That has been buried to form like a cave-like structure.
Ah, so that's the Pan Cave.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
And the other one is the largest of the nest boxes, close to their climbing structure, which is, of course, the...
Pansion.
Yeah.
Jeez. God.
we put those together. So it was, I did put the designs, but it was work from other keepers and field staff who helped put together some of the nest boxes. My original designs changed slightly because as you're building them, you realize ways that you can improve, for example, ways that you can make it more practical. You can make sure that there's no water leakage, for example. The prime concern for red pandas is definitely heat. You want to make sure it's nice and cool for them.
Yeah.
Because they have their cubs usually in the nest boxes during the summer months.
Yeah, which makes sense.
So we put them together. We had them in the nest boxes well before the breeding season, which is generally around December to January. The idea being that they can get used to them, they can accept them as a part of their territory, they can explore them. So by the time breeding season comes, or the time to find a nest box comes, that's a part of their territory. We haven't disrupted any behaviors. And it's been accepted. It's not alien to them.
Yeah. Because then you risk them being like, where the heck did this come from? Dropped out of the sky? Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Honestly, though, I remember when they brought this up because it was like borderline impossible to talk to you for a little while.
Why?
Because all you wanted to talk about were your nest boxes and your pandas. That was it. That was it. Nothing else.
I would like to take this moment to apologize to my girlfriend because you guys just work with me. I live with her, and she probably heard that every day.
Oh my gosh, I would love to pick her brain on that. It's okay. It's okay, Cal. You're the best panda uncle.
Oh man, I have so many apologies to make. But we had promising results in January, so we noticed that there was the breeding behaviors. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing about red pandas. They only are receptive to breeding 3 days in a year, once a year.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay.
So anything goes wrong, any disruptions, anything that just doesn't put them in the mood, and you might not have success that year.
Wow. So they're very sensitive. I've heard a few animals are very much like that, but I can't think of any others offhand. It's interesting how they can be so specific. Like, I think Mara... they come in and out of heat a lot more, but I think it's for like 30 minutes at a time.
30 minutes?
30 minutes. So wow. Like, that's why they're monogamous usually, because males will have to stand pretty much directly next to her until it's exactly the right moment.
Is it time? Is it no? No? No?
Okay. Oh, dang, okay. I missed it because I was eating food. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Sorry, I missed the bus. Can you hold on? Can you? No? No? Oh, okay.
I know. Animals are crazy like that. It's interesting how they can be so specific sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the behaviors you want to look out for red pandas is they make vocalizations, which they don't usually do. I've got a little recording of a sound, so I'm just going to play it real quick. This is the kind of noises they make. Did you hear that?
Yeah, the little...
Exactly. I can't imitate that to save my life. It's so cute. And when I've seen him do it, it's usually a rune. He doesn't seem to open his mouth.
Oh.
So it's like, did you make that noise? Was that a bird? What was that? But it was him. It was absolutely him.
Oh, interesting.
And I heard Sakura make a vocalization, kind of like a wailing kind of noise during that time.
I definitely want to hear you trying to imitate that.
No, I right can't now. Imitate that. No, it's, you got it. It's like
I don't understand what...
Like, I shouldn't have done it. You tricked me. I should have stuck with my previous judgment. Now that's out there.
Oh, I'm so happy.
All right, Ashley. You get a point today.
I have so many points.
There was the vocalizations. Arun was shadowing Sakura constantly, scent marking wherever she scent marked.
They're in love.
Exactly.
That's so cute.
And then in early January, I noticed that there were these like crop circles, effectively. like these circles, because it was in the snow. Right, okay. At the time there was snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And there were these circles in the snow where the snow had been flattened by red panda paws.
Oh.
In a circle. And little tufts of red fur too.
Which, interesting.
Like, to me, suggested that was the date that things happened.
No.
This is the part of zookeeping.
They make crop circles.
This is the part of zookeeping where you're kind of like nosy housekeeping, you know? You're just a bit like, oh.
Oh my gosh, no one's ever going to be able to bring up crop circles to me ever again. It has a new meaning. Jeez.
Yeah, maybe it's just secret society red pandas hanging out in America, usually, according to crop circles.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, it suggested the meeting, and we wrote that down in the records.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where things start to take a turn.
You know, I remember that, too, because you wrote in my birthday calendar when they were going, they were suspected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's
took offense
the thing.
To that you didn't ask me first before you wrote in my birthday calendar. I put a lot of effort into that birthday calendar.
I'm sorry.
It's all kind of bugging you. Anyways, you were about to say?
I was going to say that this is where things turn into, like, you're kind of like a paranoid, one of those journalists.
Yes.
Trying to track down your a story or
yes.
a detective.
I remember
you've got the pins in the wall and the strings attached to the pins.
100%.
Because...
Yeah, the nest boxes were bad. You just got worse as the year went on.
I'm sorry, Ashley, but like I was
okay. You were very excited,
and so the gestation period of mm-hmm. a red panda female is usually 134 days.
That specific.
Usually around 144
okay.
days.
Okay.
However, there are two things that red pandas can have. A female, they can have pseudo pregnancies, which means she's not pregnant. But she shows every sign that she's pregnant.
Well, that's annoying. A little
her
bit.
Hormone levels can be higher. Her pregnancy hormone levels can be higher than a female that's actually pregnant.
Wow.
Exactly.
Weird.
Her behavior can change. She can swell up. She can gain weight, just like a pregnant female, but not be pregnant.
Yeah, so there's always a chance that it's just... She's chunky.
Exactly. Glowing, Ashley. Glowing.
Chunky. Chunky.
But the other thing is they can also have delayed implantation at the same time.
Oh, okay. So then it might push it back a bit.
Exactly. So you calculate that 134 days, you set a date, and nothing happens. But then later on, they might give birth.
It could still happen. Interesting.
And that was just the thing. It's confusing in that way. The signs could not be signs. And she might go on a bit further. The only way to be sure that a red panda is pregnant is an ultrasound.
Okay.
And for that, she needs to basically be standing on a station upright so that a vet can check and do an ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
We had trained the red pandas on station training, for example, so they were ready for that. But still, you want to do a refresher course to make sure they're ready for the date, so we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, leading up to the date, or the due date, I was checking for every sign.
Yeah.
Every sign.
Yep.
And I told you, every day.
Mm-hmm. No, you did. You did. Did I tell you about Sakura today? Did I tell you what she did today? Did I tell you that she was, like, making chittering noises today? Oh, my gosh. She, like, plucked a piece of grass today, actually.
Yep.
She plucked a piece of grass, and she walked it across. Yes. Yes, you told me that an hour ago, Cal.
I feel reliving a trauma.
It was adorable, honestly. You were so excited.
But here's the thing. I can't trust Sakura because she could be pseudo-pregnant.
I can't trust
myself, Ashley, because this is something you've got to... I feel like it's an important life lesson, right?
Okay.
You've got to separate what is happening from what you want to happen.
Uh-huh.
I wanted us to have success mm-hmm. with the SSP. I wanted us to have a successful reproduction of with the red pandas.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be me looking for signs that point to that conclusion rather than looking for signs that lead me to a proper conclusion.
Which is why you are moderately neurotic.
Moderately? Wow, you're being very generous to me. Oh, so the date passed, and of course, couldn't be certain.
Okay.
And I don't know if people had just had enough of me talking, but we were planning on doing an ultrasound for Sakura.
Mm-hmm.
And then a good couple of weeks past the due date, that was the expected due date, we had good news. It was found that she had two cubs in her nest box, and guess which nest box she picked?
Was it the pension?
It was the pension.
Oh my gosh.
You, You can't argue with that. This housing market, if you had the opportunity, go big, right? Like, oh, actually, God. I have a key, three keys here. One leads to a mansion, a studio apartment, and a man cave. Which one are you going to take?
I actually like property, so where's my acreage?
Mansion. Come on, mansion comes with acreage.
Does it, though?
It's got It's got a pond side view.
Oh, my gosh, it totally does. So,
yeah, there you go.
Okay, yeah, I guess. I concede.
And she gave birth, and that was amazing, right before we were going to do an ultrasound on her. And she was doing great with her training. She was standing upright. She had a bamboo shoot in one hand that she was munching on, holding still, allowing us to do checks. The only sign that I ever found that suggested that she could have been pregnant was it seemed like her teats were being more pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
However, again, that could have just been the hormones if she was pseudo-pregnant.
Yeah, there's always chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm confident that it was January 9th that the breeding happened. And even if it wasn't January 9th, it should have been within 3 days of that period. So the fact that she gave birth then tells us that she had delayed implantation.
Oh, interesting.
And
because it was a little bit extended.
Exactly.
From that time.
My curiosity, though, is what affects when a red panda's body decides to implant the egg? Is it sunlight? Is it availability of bamboo shoots? What is it that determines when they decide to implant the embryo or the egg? Because some animals delay it for a certain stimulus to occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out exactly what that stimulus is for them. I wonder if someone's already done research on that. Although, actually, now they say that, you've probably done an extensive amount of searching.
I couldn't find an answer to that, so I'm not 100% certain what features affect that.
Well, that's an area that somebody needs to research, because Cal needs to know the answer.
And you need me to stop, like, bringing it up, I guess. And, you know, when red panda cubs are born, they're just over 100 grams.
Aw.
Little
bitty babies.
Yeah. They're tiny. They don't have their eyes open yet. They're not red in color. They're actually more of a brown kind of color. Completely dependent on mom.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Sakura has been a great mom. She's had a lot of experience, which has been awesome. She's raised a lot of cubs in her lifetime at other facilities. So that was something that was a real plus and a real relief to know that we had an experienced mother that was taking care of them.
So it could take some of the stress off of you, a first-time panda parent.
I know exactly what kind of parent I'm going to be now.
Oh, God.
Neurotic.
Neurotic.
Planning for every extreme.
You're going to be a helicopter parent.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to be a drone parent. You know,
drone parent.
You're going to hear me in the skyline.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, she's been great. She's been looking after them. And keepers that have been working with them, including myself, have had great opportunities to monitor the health of the cubs, make sure they're doing well, that the development is progressing well.
Mm-hmm.
And the work we've had with Sakura has shown us that she's been very comfortable with that.
Which is fantastic.
So good.
Yeah.
I was really excited and happy to see the way she's being with that.
It's so exciting when you form, like, such a good bond with an animal that they trust you, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with their babies, you know? She loves you. You love her. It's so funny to watch the two of you interact.
Very much.
You guys are adorable.
She's an amazing animal and just...
Definitely Cal's favorite. I'm just throwing it out there.
I can't argue that point. And right now, their cubs are doing amazing. As you heard from the announcement video on the zoo's Facebook page, they had their first major health check, and all came good.
Fantastic.
Now they have their red coat. They look just like a miniature version of the parents.
So cute.
They are starting to get curious, poking their heads out, and developing those muscles, getting ready for the day that they do decide to come out of the nest box sometime in fall. And I'm just super excited. They won't move on to solid foods until they're about 4 months of age. This is just a prime example of good support for SSP. I mean, with two cubs, what you want is you want to make sure that mom and dad have produced offspring to replace themselves when they're gone. That means that there's no population decline. And what's amazing about that is that they're the first that I've heard of red panda cubs born in British Columbia.
Oh, that's so super cool.
Right?
They're little beastie babies.
And we can share the information that we collected on them. One really good point is that they were born in their enclosure. They were kept with their mother, for example. She did all the raising. Mm-hmm. We were able to get weights on them. So it's helpful because often weighing comes from bottle-fed cubs, cubs that had to be taken in because...
Oh, like all the research that you got about them? Like when you were doing your initial research?
Exactly. A lot of the information on weight gains, for example, comes from bottle-fed cubs.
Okay, so it's interesting to see the difference when they're actually raised by mum, like
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
That's cool.
And we're really happy with that and hoping to have more successes with other species, but this has definitely been an achievement that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. And I'm so glad that to have been a part of this project. And with the people that I work with here, it's just been amazing. I'm really sorry about all the neurotic talking I've had about, do you think she's pregnant? I think she's pregnant. She could be pregnant. No, she's not pregnant. I just wanted to be pregnant. No, she's pregnant. Should I do that?
No, this was like the entire lunch break sometimes, like the entire, like an hour of just this. And we'd all be like, okay, Cal, just eat your food and go.
Like, you know. You just, you put your heart and soul into it. You
put your heart and soul into it.
And you drag your friends and co-workers down that pit with you.
Whether or not they want to be down there with you.
I will offer their soul and heart as well if we have success, my lord. Actually, funnily enough, I did get superstitious at some points. So I refused to watch Turning Red until after... the red pandas had their first major health check.
I'm really sorry to say this, but when have you not been superstitious?
Have I been superstitious for another reason?
You just, I don't know. When I think superstitious, I don't go, not Cal.
Do I do something superstitious?
No. Walk, 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 walk. Walk, walk, walk.
That is just how I make sure everything's good and locked up. I have to do it.
It's all good. I do the same thing, but I just do it in my own way.
I'm glad I watched Turning Red, though. It was a good movie.
It's a really good movie.
Did you watch it?
No, I 100% did. I watched it, like, ages ago, though.
Pixar. Oh, my God. They give you a funny show, but then they hit you right in the feelings, like a real gut punch, but it makes you feel warm inside.
It was good. It was a good one. I liked that one.
Highly recommend it. I'm so glad I waited to watch it.
I was willing to watch it multiple times because I have a very young brother, so sometimes we have to watch movies over and over and over and over again, and I was not displeased.
Good.
That's a good sign.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great conversation that you've probably heard a few times over and over again in the staff room. If anyone has any questions for us, please do not hesitate to email us at podcast@gvzoo.com. or DM us on our social media. I'm Callum Hughes.
And I'm Ashley Isaac.
And this has been
A Wild Conversation.